Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll meditate on that first scripture lesson from Ruth chapter 1. Let me read just select verses again. After they had lived there in Moab about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Goel, our kinsman redeemer, dearly beloved of God, after one of the driest summers on record, all these days of gloomy rain can really get to you after a while. And aren't you glad at times like this that you don't have that sunshine faith of so many in America today who will worship God only when the sun is shining and they can see it? And not have the faith to believe that the sun is shining always above the clouds? That faith that walks by faith and not by sight. We're especially blessed at times like this because the Lord keeps on showing his love to such an extent that it's in our darkest days, our most gloomy days, that the faith of Christians burns the brightest. Reminds me of how the devil is always attacking the fortresses of God as they attack the ancient cities of the Byzantine Empire. And that secret weapon that the Christians had against their enemies outside the walls, they called it Greek fire. They still don't know the recipe, secret to this day. But it's one of the reasons why the Byzantine Empire lasted as long as it did, because they would fire on the enemy down below or in naval battles. And Greek fire would burn on water. In fact, the harder the enemy tried to put it out with water, the more the flame spread, the hotter it burned. Very much what happens when Satan attacks God's people. You go back to the fire of the Holy Spirit, you fire upon the enemy with the weapons that God gives us in his word. And you find out that the love of the Lord is more clear to you, shining brighter than ever on the darkest, gloomiest, most difficult days. It's times like that that you really cherish the fact that the kindnesses of God are sure. And of all times, the kindnesses of God are sure in grief. Look across the landscape of America today, and it's sad to say, but there is a word which summarizes what you see out there. You'd have to say it's unfaithfulness. Popular shows like Desperate Housewives. How many times can you show unfaithfulness over and over again before people get tired of it? Or the sorry stories of mistresses and unloved wives that Oprah likes to put out there. Just show the pollution on our landscape. And give us all the more reason to praise God for these sweet stories. True history, as we see in these four short chapters of Ruth. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. There she is in grief to find that the kindnesses of God are sure. You and I can hardly relate to what it must have been like in ancient times, living as we do in a country where one of our greatest challenges is not to eat too much. How do you relate to when it was for the ancients living from hand to mouth, as they say, from one harvest to another, without a whole series of interstates out there and tractor trailers to move fruitful produce to drought-stricken grain belts? When they had a few years of iron skies and cracked earth, they starved. Millions of people would die. Can you imagine what it would be like to have to flee from where you live because all the water dried up and the fields with them and the food was gone? No refrigerators, no canned goods, no nothing. Nothing in the stores. It was all that this man from Bethlehem in Judah could do, to take his wife and two sons and go to a foreign country called Moab. We can't imagine. I mean, what do you do when you travel? You hungry? Perkins breakfast? Don't even think about it. Looking for lodging and maybe a good meal at night? Try a dry creek bed where maybe you can hide in the rocks and get out of the wind for a while. You're not going to find any help along the way, and who says they're going to welcome you when you're with a bunch of refugees and you finally get to a foreign country? And there's animosity between Israelites and Moabites. That's a desperate situation, but it's all Elimelech could do. When he died, how he died, we don't know. No Social Security, no education for women, no jobs that they could fall back on or get anywhere to support themselves as a widow. Widows in Israel, widows in a foreign country, were destitute beyond what we can imagine, but thank God for two sons. They both married women close by, Moabite women. One named Orpah, the other Ruth. But there must have been sadness in the family even before that. The names of these two sons don't speak about happiness. You know, you usually try to pick names that are happy names, but in Israel, it was even more so. They would describe what was going on in their life with names that they picked for their children. Ruth's husband's name was Mahlon, means sickly. Perhaps as an infant or all through his life, it's as if good health is running away and sickness is dogging his heels. His brother Kilian that married Orpah, his name means pining. And apparently there was sadness in the family enough then that Elimelech and Naomi, before they even fled to Moab, named one of their sons sickness and the other one sadness, pining away. A desperate widow, thankful for her two sons, could only be more desperate if one died. But for both of them to be taken, we just can't imagine. But you can understand why. Ruth would say later on to the other Israelite women, Naomi would say this, "Don't call me Naomi." She said, "Call me Mara. Because the Almighty has made my life very Mara, bitter." What was it about that woman that made Ruth and Orpah say, "We want to go back with you"? You know what Naomi means? My delight. Something in what she said, the way she lived her life, the way she talked, made their relationship as mother-in-law and daughter-in-law so close that both of these daughters were willing to leave where they lived, their own land, and go with my delight mother-in-law Naomi back to the old country. Where do you go in times of grief? Some people try to hide in a bottle. Some people play the blame game as if somehow it will make them feel better if they make more grief. And some just give up on God and want to crawl inside and die. Grief does that to people. And it's understandable. What's strange is the way in the midst of grief, we as God's people find our faith shining more brightly as long as we stay in God's word and sacrament. As long as we keep feeding that fire with the fuel of faith, it just gets brighter. No matter how hard the devil tries, we appreciate God's love all the more. The kindnesses of the Lord are sure. And you really understand how sure in times of doubt and the darkness of uncertainty. Maybe that's not so strange, though. If the sun was always shining and the wind never blew, we could probably all live in tents. If the lakes never froze, why would you ever need a fireplace? In a Minnesota blizzard, it really makes a lot of sense to have a very fine furnace inside insulated walls. But you know when you really appreciate that? You won't take it for granted if you spend a night in the ditch sometime in a Minnesota blizzard. It's the way it is in our faith that the more the Lord takes things away sometimes, the more we really appreciate the goodness of our God and the blessings. That's why I counsel God's people when things are really getting difficult to look up. When the Lord is bringing things to a head in your life, this is His answer to your prayers. The night is often darkest just before the dawn. God knows full well when times of gladness will be the needful thing for thee. When He has tried thy soul with sadness and from all guile has found thee free, He comes to thee all unaware and makes thee own His loving care. The kindnesses of the Lord are sure. The happiness and peace come quietly to those who find their way back home to the Lord God of Israel. My delight, Naomi lived her faith, and Ruth was ready to go back with her to the ends of the earth. Did you catch when it was that things started to turn around for Naomi? Ah, we missed this. You just read along and you get to verse 6 and you read, when she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of His people, when she heard the word of God, she heard how the Lord had come to the aid of His people. And then she was ready to go back. And so were her daughters too. Except that Naomi, my delight, lived up to that. What was it about this woman that was so delightful? Think about the natural reaction of this widow and her two daughters at that time. Wouldn't it just be natural to complain about how lonely she was, but say, at least I have you two? To kind of lay this on them pretty heavy about how much she needed them, that they would come back with her back to the promised land. And what her life would be like without them. Naomi doesn't do it. She's living in the unselfish love of faith that puts the happiness of others around her before her own. Instead of thinking how much she needs her two daughters, she tells her daughters-in-law how she can't be much help to them anymore. I'm too old. Even if by some miracle I could have a husband tonight and boys born in the morning. What, are you going to wait the rest of your life, shut yourself up as young women waiting for grown men? Oh, my life is bitter. The hand of the Almighty has come down upon me. It's harder for me than it is for you. You at least have your youth. Go back, my daughters. It's bitter. It's grief. And yet Naomi is putting her hope in the Lord so much that even at this time she can think about others around her and let go of the last earthly comfort that she has. In fact, insist for yourself, girls, go back home. Kilian's widow is convinced. Tears, hugs, goodbyes, Orpah is on her way. But Naomi looks at the other daughter-in-law, Mahlon's widow, and she's getting stubborn. She's got her neck set, and her eyes are blazing, and she comes out with one of the most beautiful confessions of faith that we have in the whole Bible, which has found its way into many wedding sermons, maybe yours. Isn't it ironic that this beautiful confession of faith comes from the mouth of a widow to her widowed mother-in-law when there's really no married hope for either one of them? But do you know the circumstances of Moabites in Israel? This is more than just marriage hope. This is more than just thinking things will turn around. This is what was in the law of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 3 and 4. No Ammonite or Moabite or any of his descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation. For they did not come out to meet you with bread and water on your way when you came out of Egypt. They hired Balaam, son of Beor, to pronounce a curse on you. As a Moabitess, Ruth, to go back to Israel, was not just a foreigner. She was cursed under the law of God. She was not welcome, not even to the 10th generation, to come into the assembly of the Lord and worship with the other believers. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of that mother that went to Jesus as a Gentile and said, "Heal my daughter of her demon possession." And Jesus said, "It's not right to take the food and give it to the dogs. Take it from the children and give it to the dogs." Remember that? And the woman comes back with, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs take the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Ruth is willing to go back as an outcast so that she might be with Naomi and the Lord. Beautiful confession. Naomi says, "Return home again." Orpah does. Naomi says, "Look, she's leaving. You should too." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." She swore. She swore at her mother-in-law. She swore in the name of the Lord, the right way. She said, "In the Lord's name, nothing but death will separate me from you. I don't just want you, Naomi. I want your God. This Lord that's declared me an outcast, I want him as my own, my kindness, my life, my answer to grief. Because the kindnesses of the Lord are sure, and they shine brightly in deliverance that's brought about with God's word." Oh, they went back all right. You've got to read those sweet four chapters of Ruth that take you right to the wedding night of Ruth when she proposes to this old bachelor, Boaz, only to find out that this kinsman redeemer, very much like the Lord, will not rest until she becomes his wife, according to the laws of the land. But the Lord wasn't done with miracles for Ruth. In our Bible class this morning, I told you who the mother of Boaz was. The genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew's gospel and at the end of Ruth. Boaz's mother was that harlot from the city of Jericho who sided with God's people when they crossed the Jordan River into the promised land. Her name was Rahab. She was saved by her faith in the Lord God of Israel, had a son named Boaz, who had this kind heart toward foreigners, and told Ruth, "I've heard what a noble woman you are the way you take care of your mother-in-law." But the Lord wasn't done. They became the great-grandparents of the greatest king of Judah. Judah, a name that means praise, and a king whose name was David. And great David's greater son was your Lord and mine, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The Lord brought this foreign woman, trusting in the God of her fathers as it became, brought her into the land of Israel to make her an ancestress of our Lord Jesus Christ in the bloodline of the Savior. Oh, Satan can fire away. Maybe it's going on in your life right now. And you get a little frightened when the flames are coming your direction. But we don't hide behind the walls of our faith. As believers, we fight back. We fight back with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, shield ourselves with the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. And what we have to fight with are weapons not like man's weapons on earth, but like that old Greek fire, that no matter how much the enemy pours the water on it, it burns more brightly. Because the Christian faith is the only faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. Lord, give us such a faith as this. And then whate'er may come, we'll taste e'en now the hallowed bliss of an eternal home. In grief, in deliverance, the kindnesses of the Lord are sure, because Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of all. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Please rise.